Hi, everybody. Welcome to the first Paddock Pass podcast note show from the Gran Premio de España. We're back, the three of us, in one place, live, sort of. Finally. Dave, it's great to see you in the flesh.
Well,
sort of.
In the flesh, sort of. Are you implying I'm some kind of ethereal vampiric creation who can't shave any longer because he can't see his reflection in the mirror?
I'm glad you had a haircut, at least.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was getting really bad. I mean, it was, you know, probably 4 or 5 millimetres long, which is just, you know, virtually hippie length. I could almost plait it.
Yeah, when's your next rock gig?
The hand went up immediately in the press conference. Dave got straight in there with two questions, which made me think, he's back.
Neil, how are you doing?
Very well, sir. Very well.
Decked out in black. Have you been boning up on the Moto 2, Moto 3 feats from the US, ready to resume duties in the commentary box?
Exactly, yeah.
When is the first Moto E race?
The first one was in Portugal.
The second one, then?
Is in Le Mans.
Right, but this is the first round for rookies, right?
Yep.
Okay, so there's something going on in every European round, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, but apart from sort of Sunday morning, the programme is getting fuller and fuller every weekend. You know, the track is busy from sort of like 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 or 6 sometimes at some tracks.
There's quite a busy schedule here, quite a big attendance as well in terms of media, as is expected in Jerez. We've got an event with KTM and Mobil 1 where they'll be talking about the renewable fuels. Of course, MotoGP is using 40%, I believe, non-fossil basis.
Yeah, 40%
basis.
This year, and then from 2027, 100%.
So, yeah, there's quite a bit of work to be done in, 3 years' time, by the time we come up to the next sort of championship. But also we're expecting some news, Dave, on the 2027 technical regulations that might come out in the next week to 10 days. So it's quite a little bit of period of transition in MotoGP at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've been sort of asking around. There was been a couple of people I haven't got to speak to yet. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be 850cc. The one thing I'm still not sure of is what the stroke is going to be, what the maximum bore is going to be, because that defines the entire character of your engine. I suspect it's going to be 75 millimeter, but we'll see. That would leave the stroke pretty much unchanged. So it would mean basically save a lot of work for the factories, and it would prevent them from revving too much. It would also sort of make it would stop the sort of chase towards higher and higher revs. No ride height devices, much less aero, which again is going to have an effect on the tyres later on as well, because obviously there'll be less stress on the front tyre. So
would we think front and, well, rear?
Rear probably as well, because also, like, the drive without a rear ride height device, the acceleration is going to be different. I listened to the Wayne Rainey interview you did in COTA, which was fantastic, and he was very interesting about what he'd like to see is about, you know, like, having the rider have to do more of the work to get acceleration out of the corner.
We're recording this just in the press conference room. First one, we had Jorge Martinez, Aya Bastianini, and Maverick Viñales. I thought Viñales' exposition today was pretty moving. I mean, he was very forthright and honest, both on the emotions of winning in the United States as well as his chances for this weekend. Pecco Bagnaia and Pedro Acosta in the second press conference, and they were pretty revealing. But just a heads up to any listeners that, you know, if there's suddenly a growl of a MotoGP bike behind us, that's because we're sitting right above the pit lane, as they tend to do here in Jerez in the media center. Dave, as you were talking technical stuff for the moment, you had a chat with Michelin honcho Piero Taramasso today. Was there any juicy bits out of that conversation?
There's bits and pieces. Michelin have got a new front tyre here. Well, a new front tyre, slightly different compound. It's the first time that the riders will actually get a chance to use the new hard front compound. They're calling it the H+, which is basically, it's more grip. It's a slightly harder compound, but it still has a bit more grip than the old H. So it should provide more performance, be easier to manage, and just make it a little bit easier. And also, I asked a few riders about front tyre pressures, because obviously that was a massive thing at the end of last year, and nobody's really talked about it this year. And people are saying, well, yeah, it's a little bit better, it's not that much, but, you know, we've got a set of rules. They've stopped, basically, they've stopped worrying about it. You know, it's now beyond their control. It's very, very clear. Last year, there were a lot of people really pushing the limit sort of thing. And also, they've got a year's worth of data on it. So it's much easier for them to set up. But it does seem like everyone has got it much more under control.
Alessio Spargaro was quite concise in his media debrief on this subject. He said there was three reasons, basically, why the tyre pressure issue has sort of abated somewhat. But, you know, like you pretty much said, Dave, it's not quite as hot, forgive the pun, as it was last year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, here last year was terrible. This year it's probably going to be a lot less because, you know, like, air temperature is going to be about 10 degrees lower than it was last year. And that means that track temperature is going to be probably, you know, it'll be low 40s rather than high 40s, low 50s. And that changes things a lot.
Neil, welcome to the David Emmett is Back at MotoGP podcast. Thanks for your attendance. Was there anything that stood out for you today from the media debriefs? Maybe some alarming news for Honda. Juan Mir was talking about the tests happening for HRC and no real progress happening.
Yeah, it doesn't really sound like there's been anything great going on there. Yamaha also had a test that was shortened, I think, by some pretty bad weather conditions, with Cal Crutchlow getting rained off in Barcelona, more or less. So, yeah, the Japanese factories haven't been really enjoying the best of luck recently. And all eyes really are falling on Monday, where so much of I feel like their immediate fortunes are going to lay. A chance for them to bring new things and to turn it around. Interesting story, of course, in motorsport.com leading up to this event, which said that Yamaha will probably have a pretty new bike to test on Monday. Not just a few upgrades here and there, but more or less a new bike completely. And that would certainly indicate the kind of radical changes that convinced Fabio Quartararo to sign on for two further years.
Yeah, also Honda, Luca Marini was saying that Honda have got a new bike to test on Monday as well. He's saying what we all know. They changed the concept of the bike. Basically, they made it long and low instead of short and high. That means it can't enter corners, especially basically trail braking up to the apex of the corner. That was where they were making up so much of their ground. It can't do that anymore, but it hasn't gained anything on acceleration. The new bike on Monday is supposed to be a step in that direction. Juan Mir was saying that at their test, they tried something they tried a direction and that hadn't really worked.
But we don't know Stefan Bradl's riding that this weekend.
No, we don't know. No, exactly. We don't know what. This is like the first. My first port of call tomorrow morning will be to stand outside Stefan Bradl's garage, to stand outside Luca Savadori's garage. I've already seen Pedrosa's bike. It looks a little bit different. They're not massively different. It actually looks sort of slightly less radical than some of the KTM stuff we've already seen.
Yeah, our good friend Harry Lloyd from HRC PR and comms heading up has already got a big screen ready for you, Dave. So if you head down there for the first session, you might be a bit disappointed. Neil, was there anything else that stood out for you today just from the debriefs? For example, one of the things that just sort of came crashing home was really how tight everything is going to be around this circuit, how well everybody knows it, how close everything is in MotoGP. And I think, Pedro Acosta was quite illustrative in his words in the press conference of this. It's going to be a really close affair. I mean, Q2, the rush to get into Q2 is going to be really highly pressurized.
Friday afternoon is going to be bonkers.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah, and I agree with you there. I don't think we're coming into this weekend with any clear favorite. I think over the last couple of years, there's usually been one or two Ducatis that you're always thinking they will be the men this weekend. But this weekend, I have really no idea. I mean, we could have two Aprilias there. We should probably have three or four KTMs, depending on whether Danny Pedrosa is fast. We should have four or maybe five Ducatis up there, depending on just how well the GP24s cope with the tracks, the Mans, and Marc Marquez as well. Throw him in there. It's pretty exciting stuff, really.
You asked Brad Binder about his broken foot, and he said everything's okay.
Yep, he did, yeah. And he also gave the impression that he was maybe not... talking about just how much he was struggling with that foot in Austin. He said it was a real hindrance. But yeah, he's had obviously 2 weeks to kind of let that heal and get his feeling back. And yeah, Binder was certainly pretty bullish coming into this weekend. And yeah, let's face it, he needs to put some results on the table, because I'm sure there's been quite a bit of soul searching that's been going on.
Yeah, he's been demoted to KTM's number two rider already. It's funny how riders are about injuries and stuff. You know, like they come in, they refuse to talk about it, in part because they don't want to give the impression of an excuse, but also because, you know, they just don't want to give anything away to anyone else. They don't want to show any signs of weakness to anyone else, and so they sort of like pretend everything's perfectly fine, and then you see them on track and they just look dog slow, and you realize maybe there is something going on here.
Yeah, maybe that broken bone in your foot is actually having a bit of an effect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but perhaps maybe that's why you can't put any weight on your peg.
Neil, you also did an interview with Joe Roberts for the podcast. You know, that'll be published soon on our channels, of course. How was that? Was there anything you could tease, perhaps, to people who might be hanging on for that one?
Yeah, quite a lot of interesting things, to be honest. Yeah, Joe was great. Really open about some of his struggles over the last couple of years. Spoke a good deal on just why things are clicking at the moment and the kind of mentality change that he's undergone in the last couple of months to get to this stage. Some great stuff on working with John Hopkins and what Hopkins is able to kind of provide him. And yeah, even a little juicy tidbit on...
Guys, join us for the rest of this Paddock Pass podcast note show on Patreon for as little as $3 a month, and catch the rest of the show.